Hey, Christchurch, happy Sunday. I'm so, so glad that you could be here with us. Let me say a prayer to get us started. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you that you are a God who sees us, finds us, and knows us. I thank you, Father, that you've been with us this far. I pray that today you would encourage our hearts, that you would strengthen our minds, that you would give us the courage, the grit, the persistence we need to go at life one more time as the men and women, the champions you've created us to be. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. In a small village near Gaya in India lives a man named Dashrath Manji. He lives in a small, isolated village that's very remote from the big cities in the area and set apart by mountains. The only way to get into any of the public facilities, public schools, is to hike for miles and miles around the hills and the mountain. Unfortunately, one day, Dashrath's wife was injured. She slipped and hurt herself while she was pregnant. And to get to the closest hospital, they had to travel around the mountain, which is about 7 kilometers, which I know for us, that's over 100 miles. And she unfortunately died before they could reach the hospital. Dashrath was just devastated by this loss. His wife was gone. His kids were left without a mother, and he faced anger and grief at the loss of his wife, the tragedy of what they had experienced. But when he took the time to think about it and reflect on it, he decided that what had happened to him and his family, he didn't want to happen to anybody else. He decided that he wanted to figure out a way to make a road through this mountain that his village wouldn't be so remote and cut off from the public places they needed. And so he took the 3 goats that his family owned, he sold them, he bought himself a hammer and a chisel, and every day he would do his job plowing in the fields, and then when he was finished, he'd take his hammer, he'd chisel, and he started chipping away at this mountain. He came up with this own technique of his, and he'd burn firewood on the rocks and put water on the hot surface to kind of make it crack up easier. And day after day, he would just chip, chip, chip away at this mountain. And people thought he was crazy because it seemed impossible to make a road through this mountain and that he'd never be able to do it all on his own with just these very small tools. One man versus a mountain seems ridiculous. And so people told him that he should give it up and go back to his normal life, and they mocked him and laughed at him and told him he could never do it. But he would not be dissuaded, and every single day he showed up and fought this mountain. And for 22 years, he chiseled his way through every single day using a hammer and a chisel, just day after day picking away with these small tools. And when he was done, after 22 years, he built a road that was 360 feet long and about 30 feet wide. He minimized the distance it took for his small village to have access to public facilities from 70 kilometers down to 1. And I look at this man's life and his story, and I cannot imagine the persistence and the courage and the grit that it takes to just go up against a mountain every single day and make a road where there was no road. He funneled his loss and his hurt and his anger into creating a better path for other people so that they wouldn't have to experience what he and his family had gone through. And just the sheer determination, like never in my mind do I think I'm gonna fight a mountain and I'm gonna win. The mountain seems big and insurmountable and too much, and he just would not give up until he changed it and made his way through. This is what I think of as a healthy, noble fight. It's a healthy work, a fight worth fighting, because the outcome of it was so good and made such a difference, not just for his family, but for an entire village of people. Now, we all know what it is to fight, right? We all know how to fight in unhealthy ways, but I wonder if we've ever took the time to think through what would it look like to fight in healthy, good, noble ways. How many of us have ever really taken on a noble struggle because we believed in it so much? Now, we know what it looks like to fight with our family and friends, right? If you've ever gotten into a fight with your loved ones, they know how to punch you right in the gut where it hurts because they know you the best. And it doesn't take much to take a disagreement into a war-like conflict, right? You disagree, you aren't on the same page, it turns into a fight, and suddenly it's us versus them. It's good versus bad, it's us and other, and you are all in, the gloves are off, and the fight is on. Somebody's gotta give, and it sure as heck isn't gonna be you. And you hold that line, or somebody in your family holds that line until somebody else finally gives in, figures out how terrible they are, and how much they messed up. We know what it looks like to fight in our families. We know what it looks like to fight with our friends. We know what it looks like to fight with the strangers who don't do the things we think we should do, we think they should do. We know how to fight over politics and opinions, and we know how to prove our point. We know how to make sure everybody knows I'm right, they're wrong, I'm good, they're bad. We know how to use our rightness to squash other people down. We know how to yell and scream over top of one another. We know how to take our opinions so seriously that we're willing to do damage to the relationships that are closest to us. We know how to go after and attack each other's character. We know how to fight. Many of us are good at it. We've known it our whole life. It feels like we've had to fight everybody. But at a certain point, we have to stop and ask, where is all of this kind of fighting getting us? Is it fixing anything, changing anything, solving any problems? Are we any closer to change? I mean, have we really ever argued somebody into submission and changed their mind or changed their heart? Or is it just leading to more conflict, more fighting, more distrust, more struggle? At a certain point, all of us have to stop and consider, are we really fighting for the right things? Or are we just so used to fighting that we don't even know how to separate? This is healthy and good and noble struggle, and this is just fighting for fighting's sake. We've got to stop and wonder, is all this fighting, all this damage that's being done to our relationships really, really worth it? Or might there be a better way? Might there be a way for us to approach life and the struggles and the things that we're going through, the impossible mountains that stand before us, and do it in a better way, with a better outcome? Is there a way to go up against these ideas and these things that is healthy and good and leads to change and not damage? So we're going to look at that today, and we're going to look at that using Paul's letter to Timothy. We've been kind of working through some big ideas in 1 Timothy, and this is what Paul says to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6. In verse 12, he says, "Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses." There is two important commands. If you read Timothy, there's all these imperatives, like they're have to do. These are important, they matter, they're commands. And in this verse right here, we get two really important ones. The first thing that Paul says is, he reminds us, you've got to fight the good fight of the faith. Now it's interesting because it's very important, you know, we got to dig into these words. And the Greek here for fight, it actually is closer to agonize. And so it's not this warlike conflict that we're used to when we fight with one another. Instead, it's agonize the good agony is how it closer translates. And this is the image that Paul gives us. The image comes along, if you ever think of an athlete, if you've ever been an athlete preparing for a contest or preparing for a run or preparing for an event, you know the work it takes to train your body for that event, for that sport, for whatever race it is that you're up against. You know what it looks like to discipline yourself and to get into shape, and it's literally fighting against yourself, the agony that it takes to get your body into the condition it needs to be to win. It's that struggle to win. The race literally is against the event itself so that you come out the victor. And if you've ever had to prepare for something like this, maybe you're not an athlete. I know all of us can't be runner six-pack athletes, but we've prepared for other things, and we've worked hard, and we've disciplined ourselves to get the work done. It can literally be agony. When you've got a deadline that you're up against and you're exhausted, when you're trying to write a paper or write something, that a proposal that matters and getting the words right, you got to fight to stay in it. You got to fight to not give up and fight the exhaustion and the doubt and your own self to not settle for anything less. And this is the image that Paul gives us when we have this picture of fight the good fight in our mind. And he says, what fight are you fighting? It's fight the good fight of faith. Because when we say yes to following Jesus Christ and being his guys and his girls, life doesn't just suddenly become easy. It doesn't become rainbows and unicorns and everything's perfect and there's never any challenge. When we say yes to following Jesus Christ, hard things don't just go away. We're still us. We still have our same problems, our same struggles that we've got to work our way through. But what does happen is when we say yes to Jesus Christ, we are no longer alone in the struggle. We have somebody that's at work in us, fighting alongside of us, giving us the ability and the strength we need not to give up and to stay in the game. Here's the truth, and many of us, if we're really, really honest, we know this. I mean, we can complain about all the things that are wrong and all the people we want to blame and all the organizations that are at fault, but the greatest fight that we fight is the one we fight against ourselves. Because we've got all this messiness inside of us. It's us. We're the problem. We are the ones who hold ourselves back. Nobody can be meaner to us than we can be to ourselves. Nobody can struggle the way we can struggle. Nobody can doubt us the way that we doubt ourselves. We are the greatest threat that we face to our own happiness, our own joy, our own sense of living well. The fight we're fighting is us. And I love how Charles Swindoll says it. He said, faith is an endurance race that tests the runner's determination to keep going despite the cry of every cell in his or her body to slacken or to quit. We've all been at these moments before where everything in us is screaming, just be done. You can't do anymore. It's too much. We're exhausted. We got this far. It's far enough. But friends, please hear me. What Paul's reminding us is faith isn't just a one-time thing. It's not a one-event occurrence. It is a lifetime of fighting and struggling to get to know Christ better, to keep going back to the mats again and again and again to do life with Christ, because our natural propensity pulls us away from Christ, but Christ draws us nearer to him. And so we do the work to allow him to be at work in our heart and in our lives. And this is the noblest fight we will ever fight, to grow in our faith and knowledge of Jesus Christ, to grow into these men and women that he said we could become. And yes, it takes work. And yes, many times it feels like we're tired and done and fed up and we're weary and worn. And every cell in our body is saying, that's it. I tried. I tried being nice and nobody appreciated it. I tried doing the right thing and it didn't go well. I tried doing better and it blew up in my face. We have these moments that feels like everything is just saying, throw in the towel and be done. But please, hear me. By the grace of Jesus Christ, we keep going. We agonize our way through the hardest moments we face. We do not quit, not because we're just that strong or we're just that good, but because God gave us a spirit that is at work in us. And our spirit is empowered with love and self-control. The Holy Spirit empowers us to do the next right thing, to stay in the struggle, to keep drawing nearer to Christ so that he can be at work in us. On my own, I'm not strong enough. On our own, we don't have enough. Because I'm not powerful enough, kind enough, any of the enoughs, right? But in Jesus Christ, we are more than enough. Christ in us is greater than he who is in the world. And he makes us more than capable, more than able, more than conquerors to do the hardest things that life requires of us. And so Paul says, listen, if we're going to fight the noblest fight, the good fight of faith, it is us at work fighting our own struggles, our own problems, our own propensities that draw us away from Christ to grow up in him and to know him better. That's the first command that Paul gives us here. Fight the good fight of faith. But then he says you got to take hold of something. You got to grab on, take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Now we got to go back to our understanding of eternal life. If we're going to take hold of the eternal life, which we were called, what does that mean? Remember, we think about eternity as a time period, right? It's an eternal period of time. But this idea here is closer to the life of the ages. And that's not a time period, but a quality of existence. And it's Jesus who told us that this life of the ages is found in knowing God. It's not some time far off in eternity that we'll face one day. Instead, this life of the ages is a quality of life, a quality that we can work towards right now, today. And it happens in our relationship to Jesus Christ. Knowing Jesus Christ affects our quality of life. Time with Jesus Christ, time away from Jesus Christ, affects our quality of life. The more we know him, the more we spend with him, the more he's at work in our hearts and souls and minds and lives, the more our right now changes, the more our quality of existence increases. And you can test this out in your own life. Look at the times where it is hard and you are struggling. Look at the times where, yes, life is hard, but you're closest to Christ, and see how it feels different. When I spend time with Christ, it doesn't matter what's going on around me because Christ is at work and in me. When I let life distract me and get me so upended backwards that I don't make the time for Christ and I'm not praying with him and reading my Bible and letting him speak to me, everything seems that much harder. But this is something we can take hold of. This is something we can do right now. We can take hold of doing life with Christ that increases our quality of existence. We don't have to do life in the kind of way that wears us out and damages our souls. Instead, we can make choices every single day that nurture the life and the soul that we have today, that grows us and develops us and cultivates what is very, very best in each of us. We can take hold of our lives right now. There's so many things that we can't change, and there's so many things that we have no control over. But here's what we do. Here's what we can take hold of and grab onto and just cling to with all of our might and all of our heart. Life with Jesus Christ. And I know so many days life just feels like a struggle. A struggle to get by and to survive and to work our way through all these problems that we're facing regularly. If ever there was a year that was more designed to make us want to quit, it's this year. This last year is like, oh, that didn't make you want to quit? Here, let me give you a new thing. Let me give you a new challenge. You didn't have anxiety? Now you will, right? Like, it just seems like throwing things at us. I know some days feel like a sprint and we go from here to there, and then other days feel like a marathon that we've been running and running, carrying a 500-pound backpack, and it just all feels impossible. I know that. I know that we feel this in different ways and in different times, but please, I also know that Christ has given us everything we need to win this fight. When we say yes to Jesus Christ, when we say yes to following him and he has that space to be at work in us, look, our name is already engraved on the trophy. Before we even are so tired we can't take our next step, before we even put our foot on the starting line, Christ promised us victory. He already made sure that we could win this race of life that we are all running right now. Because the greatest battle that ever needed to be fought, Christ has fought. The hardest work that ever needed to be done, Christ already did. And look, he knows us. He knows our problems. He knows our weakness, our shortcomings, our struggles, our pain. He knows what we are going through. Christ walked this earth. He knows what it is to struggle and suffer, and he knows what it is to hurt. He understands us and has compassion for us. He has stood where we've stood, and he stands with us even in our darkest places. He isn't appalled by us. He's not ashamed of us. Nobody can be for us like Jesus Christ is for us. He hasn't turned his back and walked away. He hasn't looked away from us. Even when I am faithless, he is faithful. It's who he is. And he has overcome what we cannot. He has defeated what seems impossible to us. And please, the race isn't over yet because God isn't done. We can't quit before God finishes because then we never get to see what God is going to do next. We can't settle when we're meant for so much more. I know there are days that feel like the fight just is too hard and the hard things keep getting harder. I know that we feel overwhelmed and frustrated and discouraged and annoyed, and the fights we've been fighting, we just feel like we're losing. But even on those days, even in those moments, Christ isn't done yet. And we don't ever want to stop before we see what Christ is going to do next. We don't ever want to quit and not see what God has in store. Because even in moments like this, our faith compels us, our hope reminds us that the best is yet to come, and our hope is in a mighty God. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, it has not even entered into our imagination what God might do next. We can't even fathom in our wildest dreams what God could possibly do. And we don't want to stop before we get to see exactly what God has in store. So we take hold of this life, this moment, and we say, I want to do it with Jesus Christ. Because every single struggle that we must endure, we do it knowing that Jesus Christ has gone before us. He's faced every hardship the world could throw. And he survived so that we can survive. We are not alone in the struggle, but filled with the strength, hope, and might of an awesome Savior. What if we changed how we fight this week? What if every encounter with somebody who doesn't think the way we think doesn't have to dissolve into a warlike conflict? Instead of fighting with each other over politics and opinions, what if we started fighting for this life that Christ has promised us? What if we started fighting for each other? We can fight for what we can fight to be right, but we can lose the heart of those that we love most. What if instead we started fighting for the hearts of those that God has put in our life? Instead of trying to prove how right we are, or what if we worked to grow and learn? What if instead of trying to crush the opposition and get people to just bend and acknowledge that we're right, we just work together towards hope and healing? For that to happen, it starts with, what do I have to let go of? What do I have to release? What do I have to forgive and just be done with? Where can I just be quiet and not add any more noise into the overwhelming sound that is already spinning around us? where can I show grace? God has shown us such incredible grace, even though I didn't deserve it. He's been gracious to me and treated me better than I deserve time and time again. And every single time, I am a better girl because of it. Where sin abounds, grace abounds all of the more. What if we showed more grace and we just stopped trying to go at it from the fighting warlike conflict, and instead we showed up with a heart that says, God has treated me better than I deserve. How can I treat others better than they deserve? How can I go into this next conversation, this next social media tension point, and just show grace as Christ has shown me grace? One of my favorite highlights from the inauguration this week was Amanda Gorman, a beautiful young poet who stood up and shared a poem that she wrote for the occasion. I want to share with you just a little bit of it. The whole thing is great. You can look it up, you can watch it, but I want to this is what she said at the beginning. When day comes, we ask ourselves, where can we find light in this never-ending shade? The loss we carry, a sea we must wade. We've braved the belly of the beast. We've learned that quiet isn't always peace, and the norms and notions of what just is isn't always justice. And yet the dawn is ours. Before we knew it, somehow we do it. And then she ends with, when day comes, we step out of the shade, aflame and unafraid. The new dawn blooms as we free it, for there is always light if only we're brave enough to see it, if only we're brave enough to be it. Oh, the light of Jesus Christ, it changes everything. The good fight of faith, fighting that fight, shines light in the darkness when nothing else can. And we are able to remain steadfast and true and persevere to the end, not defeated, not crushed, not destroyed, but shining lights for Jesus Christ. But it takes bravery to fight for that light. What if we were brave enough to keep looking for the light of Jesus Christ, even when all seems dark? What if we were brave enough to shine that light for others and stand with them in the darkness? What if we decided to change out the way we've been fighting, and instead of warlike conflict with everybody, we take hold of this life, this grace, this love that God has shown us, and we pave a new way. We create a new path forward. We chip our way at the mountain of impossibility that stands before us and that directs us in the way that we should go. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you would help us. I pray that you would give us the hearts that are open to you in this moment. I pray, Father, that we would build this new habit into our life and we would let go of the warlike conflict that has so persisted in our life and in our hearts. I pray, Father, that we would approach our life and our relationships and those around us with a new purpose, a new sense of faith and hope in you. I pray, Father, that we would fight the good fight of faith, that we would face every struggle, every agony before us in the knowledge of who you are and what you've done. I pray, Father, that we would take hold of our life right now and grow in doing it better with you, that you would give us a better quality of existence no matter where we are. Pour out your grace on us, I pray. I pray that we would be brave enough to find the light and shine the light of Christ in all that we do. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.